been able to wear it yet, but it's actually this mascot horse's head. I found it at Goodwill a while ago, and anyhow, carefully disinfected it, of course. That was some time ago, so I know it's fine, because I'm fool enough to put it on. But what a privilege it is to be in the Word of God. What a blessing it is for us to be together to worship. You know? This is something that, isn't it true that we can take this for granted? And then we find ourselves in a situation where all of a sudden we realize, wait a minute, I need to do this. I've got to do this. And that's because God inhabits the praises of his people, his word tells us. Jesus said, where two or more are gathered in my name, there I am with them. And aren't you glad he didn't put any qualifications, you know, where two or more are gathered in my name without masks or without social distancing? How blessed we are. I'm sorry, I'm just having all kinds. I'm a hot mess this morning. I'm just having all kinds of trouble. Now I can't get my microphone to work right. But, can't get it to quite fit on my ear. But we'll get there. Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. I hope you don't anyhow, because it's not about him. It is about the one that he's supposed to be pointing to, microphone or not. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for your truth. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your peace. We look forward to you, to seeing you alone in your word, to hearing your voice. May it be your voice we hear and heed. Come, Holy Spirit, fill us. Light our way, light of the world. In Jesus' name. Amen. Once upon a time, there was a handsome prince. Oh, he was so handsome and charming. And he met a beautiful princess, and their life, oh, at first it was filled with love and laughter, and you would think that they lived happily ever after. But alas, actually, it wasn't just a lass, it was many. You see, the prince had a wandering eye, and did I mention, oh, he was so handsome and charming, and thus he had dalliances with this one and that one. And he just couldn't help himself, he would say, but if the princess were ever to ask him about such things, he would always proclaim his true love for her and say such reassuring things like, oh, I'm here with you. But the dalliances continued. And theirs was not a happily ever after, because over time it became clear that his love was not true, at least not for the poor princess. And as for the prince, who was far poorer than he realized, he never found the true love he liked to tell himself that he was looking for, because in the end, and it did not end well, the only one the prince truly loved was himself. I know. It's a sad story, but there is a moral to it. And the moral is that there is power in love, in a special kind of love, an expulsive power to keep us from the unthinkable, a beautiful power that can transform our hearts and lives and lead us out of ourselves into a love that lives happily ever after in us and in which we can live happily ever after even when the circumstances are hard. You know the love that I'm talking about. And it does not come from us. It is a love that God gives to our hearts, to any heart that opens itself truly to Him. Let's read about it, shall we? In Philippians chapter 1, verses 9 to 11, a prayer from the Apostle Paul. If you have your Bibles with you, please follow along. I didn't think we'd be using the PowerPoint, so I don't have it on PowerPoint this morning. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. May we pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your truth. Lord, help us with our willfulness as we look into your word to say your will, not mine. Help us to weigh these things with humility that could only come with you. Oh, hold us by the hand and walk us through your truth, that we may come to a better place. The peace of your love. In Jesus' name, amen. Abounding love. That's what Paul is talking about. The same kind of love that he writes about in 1 Corinthians 13, agape love, right? It's the same word here in this passage. Love that comes from God alone. Love that can grow, however, even within us. Again, it comes from Him. It grows in us if we open ourselves to Him. So Paul prays for the Christians in Philippi that that love will grow in their hearts in depth and with knowledge. And why? What is the outcome? Take a look. Look at verse 10. So that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled, it's all one sentence, with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. There it is. Just a few words. But it's beautiful. Do you see it? This is more than just a theoretical love. This is the most practical love at all. It is love that results in righteousness in our hearts. Love that helps us, even us, grow in discernment, make the right choice, do the right thing, change. This is truly at the heart of the Christian faith. Think about the church in Ephesus, the first church mentioned in the Revelation. Please focus carefully on this and listen to what Jesus says to them in Revelation 2, verse 2 and following. Listen carefully. I know your deeds, your hard work, and your perseverance. I know that you cannot tolerate wicked people, that you have tested those who claim to be apostles but are not and have found them false. You have persevered and have endured hardships for my name and have not grown weary. Oh, hear that, hear that. Yet, I hold this against you. You have forsaken the love you had at first. Oh. How would you feel if you heard that? If we didn't know it was Jesus saying these words, we might think, wait a minute, what could be wrong with a church like that? They work hard, they persevere, they've endured hardship, they've weeded out wickedness, they keep on going. But Jesus tells them they need to what? Repent. One thing, you have forsaken the love you had at first.
Well, I'm sorry, we are Presbyterians, God's frozen chosen. We cannot talk about love. That's too close to emotion, and the last thing we want to do is show any kind of emotion whatsoever. That's Pentecostal.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is, and praise God for them.
That's been one of the lessons he's been teaching me, as I've mentioned before, when I was in a Pentecostal church recently, and I'm thinking, man, it's getting kind of loud in here, and God is saying to me, James, you can learn from them. But think about this. You've forsaken the love you had at first. They do all of these good things. Oh, these are formidable Christians. But what is that? I mean, I'm not sure I really want to be that, right? Because that points to me. Oh, they're formidable. Oh, he's a great spiritual giant. What? Is it not his strength is made perfect in weakness, and thus I must decrease, he must increase. Remember how Jesus responded when he was asked, what is the most important commandment? He responded, Matthew 22:37, love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. It is love that truly helps us praise him. It is love that helps us truly repent and turn from sin. Love, not fear. Fear doesn't really cause us to truly repent, because fear is a form of what? Self-love. Think about it. Oh, it is a good thing to have a healthy fear of God. Scripture says the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. But that word fear in the Hebrew actually means awe. It's a broader word. It means reverence. Now, should we also remember that the Lord chastens those he loves, and therefore, yes, we want to obey him, because there can be consequences for things we do. Make no mistake about that. But the real point here is that what keeps us from sin is love. Listen carefully to what the powerful, spirit-filled evangelist George Whitefield said about this. He said, please listen, our sorrow and grief for sin must not spring merely from a fear of wrath. For if we have no other ground but that, it proceeds from self-love and not from any love of God. And if love for God is not the chief motive in your repentance is in vain and not to be esteemed true. Many in our days think they're crying out, they're crying to God. Many in our days, and I think this is applicable now as it was then, think their crying to God is repentance, and that God will forgive them as such. But indeed they are mistaken. It is not the drawing near to God with our lips while our hearts are far from him which he regards. Repentance does not come by fits and starts. No, it is one continued act of our lives. In other words, oh, I'm just going to go out and sin because Jesus is going to forgive me again. Why am I raising my hand? We've all done it, right? So many more times than I would care to admit. This is a hard-hitting truth. And it brings us to the end of ourselves. In other words, it brings us to that point where do I stop and God begin in my life? Where am I willing to say, I will take up my cross, I will take up my burden, I will take up my challenge, I will take up my temptation and follow Him? You see, the question is, who will I love more? Me? Or Him? I'm sorry, our culture gets it so wrong. Learning to love yourself is not the greatest love of all. The greatest love of all waits to be let in. And it waits right at that place, which is right at the end of ourselves. In other words, that place that says, not my will. And Lord, I can't do this without you. I can't say this without you. But please have mercy on me, a sinner. Not my will, but yours. Yours. That's how Jesus taught us to pray. So let's take a moment and just ponder this. Let's sit down prayerfully for just a moment while Jarek plays and think about this. And then we'll continue again. But to ask ourselves, do I turn from sin out of love? Because I love God more. Because I don't want to hurt His heart. Because I don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit. And I'm thinking, no, Lord, I love you, I love you, and because I love you, I don't want to go back there. As tempting as it may be for me, Lord, I love you, and because I love you, I can't, I won't. Or do I obey God sometimes out of fear? Afraid of what He's going to do if I do that. Let's just ponder that and ask for grace to love Him more than we ever have before. Let's do that now for a moment. Remember what we talked about last Sunday, how love is an act of the will? And God can meet us in the weakness of our wills and strengthen us in the hard places. And that's the beautiful thing about Him. That's who He is. That's what He does. Now, beautiful as that music was, thank you, Jarek, it may not have been an easy moment. Because if we weigh our motives rightly, we will always discern more of self in them than we would like, even in our repentance, right? Listen to this powerful prayer, continual repentance, from the book Valley of Vision. This is a collection of Puritan prayers, so the language is a little bit archaic, and it's very theological. But listen carefully. O God of grace, thou hast imputed my sin to my substitute, meaning Jesus, and hast imputed his righteousness to my soul, clothing me with a bridegroom's robe, decking me with jewels of holiness, but in my Christian walk I am still in rags. My best prayers are stained with sin. My penitential tears are so much impurity. My confessions of wrong are so many aggravations of sin. My receiving the Spirit is tinctured with selfishness. I need to repent of my repentance. I need my tears to be washed. I have no robe to bring to cover my sins, no loom to weave my own righteousness. I'm always standing clothed in filthy garments, and by grace am always receiving change of raiment, change of clothing. For thou dost always justify the ungodly. I'm always going into the far country and always returning home as a prodigal, always saying, Father, forgive me, and thou art always bringing forth the best robe. Every morning, let me wear it. Every evening, return in it. Go out to the day's work in it, be married in it, be wound in death in it, stand before the great white throne in it, enter heaven in it, shining as the sun. Grant me never to lose sight of the exceeding sinfulness of sin, the exceeding righteousness of salvation, the exceeding glory of Christ, the exceeding beauty of holiness, the exceeding wonder of grace. I need to repent of my repentance. That isn't groveling. That's heartfelt recognition of pure love. Because so much of what we do is tainted with ourselves. Remember the last words of the prayer, the exceeding wonder of grace. This brings us back to the last words of the prayer of the text we were reading this morning. Go back to Ephesians 4:11. Filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Christ Jesus to the glory and praise of God. It is He who gives us this love. It is He who gives us this righteousness, so that we praise Him and glorify Him for it. Because we cannot save ourselves. And even our best efforts at righteousness are tainted, right? So we must cling to Him. And we must declare our dependence on Him moment by moment as we live. Now, if you were having a difficult moment as you were realizing how much of self is in your repentance, don't despair. Because God's word affirms in the very same letter to the Philippians that He who began a good work in you will carry it through to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Philippians 1:6. So we can love. But we must resolve to love Him more than we love our sin. That is the very nature of repentance, to turn from that sin and turn to Him. And all we have to do is ask, to pray, Lord Jesus, help me to love You more. To pray it every day. to repent of our sins, to ask for His forgiveness, yes, that is where the road begins, but then to follow. And as we go there, as we live there, we become increasingly caught up in that love that pushes out the desire to sin. It is, as has been said, the expulsive power of a new affection. I will always struggle with the old sin nature as long as we are on earth. But as we turn to Him, we overcome because He has overcome. And we will love Him all the more for it. So, oh, don't hold back. Love Him. I was reading in Andrew Brunson's biography, God's Hostage. It's a good book. I encourage you to read it. It's a surprising book because he's very honest about his weakness in it. But there came a point where he realized when he was in his cell, and this may sound a little crazy, but he just needed to dance before the Lord. He had heard about another prisoner for Christ, Richard Wurmbrand, who had done that. And he thought, you know what, I can't dance, but I'm going to do it anyhow. And that was just one way of showing love. And, you know, there were other guys in his cell, and they kind of looked at him. He didn't care. I don't know what it is for you. Maybe it's dancing. Maybe it's singing, and you can't carry a tune in a basket. Sing as loud as you want to. Just not here right now, because, you know. But oh, love Him. Love Him. Let yourself live in His love, to be caught up in this love that abounds, because He loves us like that. This is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Get that love, whatever it cost you. Because this world and its counterfeits, they can't touch it. They've got nothing on it. And oh, so many people spend so much time chasing after so many things. Relationships, wealth, title, career, education. So many things. But this love, and our part is to admit our poverty. I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. Bless me now, my Savior, and come to me. Ask Him for His love and He will give. And He will help us love Him back. So let's go to Him now. May we pray. Lord, you know the struggle in our souls. But we know the truth of your word. And we know the beauty of your Spirit because we have seen it. And we know, as Paul said, that nothing good lives in us. Not really. Anything we can point to is just from you. You know how tainted we are apart from you. So, Savior, save us. If you have never called out to Jesus and asked Him to save you, do it now in your heart, quietly in this place where you sit. He went to the cross to give of Himself as the perfect sacrifice for our sins, so that you and I could come near to a righteous God, actually as His children. So, oh, would you come to Him? This world will deceive you. It will tell you, oh, not yet. Do this first. No. It is God who in his mercy who gives us every breath, every moment. He alone. So, oh, go to him today, right now, and ask him, Lord, save me. I trust you. I believe in you. I receive you. Fill me. And if you've received him, but you've been struggling with a sin, know this. He who began a good work in you will carry it through to completion. Tell him, Lord, I'm sorry. I truly am. Help me to love you more. I do love you. Like the man who said, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Lord, I love you. Help me to love you more. I love you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your love. Thank you that you loved us first. We worship you, our beautiful Savior. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's stand together and join in singing Near to the Heart of God.